Okay, we have again two parshas. We're going to finish Vayikra this week, so that, as always, Bamidbar laning will occur right before Shavuos. And we have this week Bahar B'chukosai. Bahar opens up, and we're told about the laws of Shemitah every 7 years, and of the 50-year cycle, that after 7 times 7 of 49, the 50th year is Yovel. And we're told that halach is that the land in Eretz Yisroel must be left fallow, unplanted, in the 7th year, and in year 49, and again in year 50. That's what we're introduced in the first part in Rishon. In Sheni, Shlishi, and Revi'i, we have the promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that provided Klal Yisroel keeps the Shemitos and the Ovlos, they need never worry about having a shortage of food supplies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said that I've made a contract, or I've established in the Metzias of Eretz Yisroel, that when it's needed, you'll get a threefold crop in the year needed, and that none of that crop will go bad. It's obviously above a teva, above anything we could understand in terms of, quote, nature. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael all that. And I think we have Chazal that tell us that when Klal Yisrael adhered, that was the reality. And it's another one of the times we remembered that Teva, nature, is only a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. And so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants wheat to grow from the ground, it will. If on another day he wants it to rain from Shemayim, it'll do that. There is nothing that's per se fixed in our world. We're then told in Chamishi that there are different rules with selling things you inherited from ancestors. There's the laws of fields. Then there's the laws of property in a walled city and property in a city that had no walls. And from learning Gemara recently, I believe those walls mean walls from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, when he conquered Eretz Yisroel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, besides commanding us about the Shemitahs, the Yovlos, we also learn at times of Orlos, first 3 years of a fruit tree, we can't use the produce. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also says, I'm giving you the halachos of Trumos and Maisrois. I am giving you, the Jewish people, the responsibility to be my agent to give food to Kohanim, to Leviim, to Aniyim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to walk in the ways that I treat the world. Just like I am a rachamim, you should be a rachamim. Just as I am a baltstaka, you have to be a baltstaka. And we have the famous saying, I think it was last week's parsha, aser to aser, you should give maaser because that's the key to being rich. In other words, If we do what Rabboni Shel Olam wants us to do, we don't have to worry that the things we give in accordance with halacha will in any way hurt the giver. Okay. With a house in a walled city, if you sell it, it seems you have a year to redeem it back, and if not, it doesn't return in Shemitah, but other things do. Shishi and Shvi deals with the halacha and Yovel that all Jewish slaves become emancipated, they go free. And there are halachas about how a Jewish slave who happened to be owned by someone who's not Jewish has to be redeemed, and how you've got to do it in an appropriate, fair manner. The Sefer, the Medrash says, opens up with Bahar and says, right? Of all years, year 7 is the most precious in the 7-year cycle. And he quotes the pasuk that in the 7th year, you're required to desist, rest, and let the land lay fallow. And then he says again, we're going to talk about 7 times 7, and then the culmination, year 50. He says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu distinguishes the number 7. It has a special chashivus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created 7 heavens, and he gives their names. The world, he says, is really divided into 7 regions. He says, Eretz, Adama, Arka, Gai, Zia, Nishia, and Tiveo. Eretz is the collective name for all countries whose mild climate exists and where fruits ripen quickly. Adama, countries which have colder climates. Adama is clods of earth sticked together in the cold. Arka refers to hot countries whose fruits in intense heat can shrink and wither. These all refer to inhabited regions. Gai, valley, refers to a place that says uninhabited, in which are situated, it says, so low on the earth that the sun basically doesn't somehow get to it to allow vegetation to grow. Tzia is the wildernesses which are not fertile, but which through travelers pass because they border on civilized areas and you've got to traverse them to get where you want to go. Nishia, he says, are desert lands. Nishia means the population consists of wild animals. The Chachamim, he says, say the world is 1/3 inhabited, 1/3 wilderness, and 1/3 ocean. And he says the 7 terms refer to those areas which are civilized. He says, I'm going to now deal with Tevel, which is Eretz Yisroel. It means an exceptional status. It is named in this fashion because it combines the taste and flavor of products of the entire world. Tevel, he says, comes from the Shores Mitubeles, which is spiced, meaning all the flavors that Kadosh Baruch Hu created. Due to the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael, it is the core of the world, and it is surrounded by other countries everywhere. That's how we have to review the world. He says the same way that a fruit has a protective seal, Eretz Yisroel has this other nation existence, which is supposed to, I guess, in the best of times, serve to sort of protect it. Then he goes on and he says, the leaders of the world were Adam 1, Shase 2, Enosh 3, Canaan 4, Mahalalel 5, Yered 6, and Chanoch 7. It says, we're told that Chanoch was a certain age, Enenon, he wasn't there. It says he went up to heaven and entered Gan Eden alive. He was the wisest human being to exist since Adam Arishain. He received all of the divine traditions from his forefathers, and he had the ability to build upon them and reach, I guess, the level of a malach. And then he says, unfortunately, he says, no matter how great he was, he still could not prevent the world from descending into the problems of the flood and the Tower of Babel. Kol Yisroel has seven major leaders too, he says. Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Then he says Levi, Kahath, Amram, and Moshe. Moshe was number seven, and he was the greatest in Torah ever. Yishai had seven sons, and the Melech Yisroel, who has the everlasting dynasty, is the seventh son. We know that in the year of Shabbat, greater than any other, greater than Yom Kippur, which a lot of people, right? But that is the summit of Kedusha in time. And we know the seventh month in our year, starting with Nisan, is Tishrei, which is the Yom Hadin, Kippur, and Sukkot. And it says, what makes seven special? Had it been six, they probably would have asked the same question. And he says, we know we have a Kabbalah that there are really seven books of the Torah. Right? That the Yikra is divided into the part that starts it. Vayhi bin Sai Harayin of Yinucha Yoimar is the second. So that's book four. Book five is the remainder. And then we have Bamidbar and Devarim. And he says that is somehow an indication, a marker for the importance of seven. The Sanhedrin had the responsibility to count years and to declare when the Shemitah year would arise. Sanhedrin declared, it says, the 21st year after B'nai Yisroel entered Eretz Yisroel as the first Shemitah, because for the first 14 years they were involved in conquering the land. It says, this counting continued for 436 years until the Golus to Bavel, and there were 62 Shemitos. He says, the laws of Shemitah are as follows. During Shemitah, all private ownership of any produce growing in the fields and vineyards, which we always have a separate entity for, to the chashivas of wine, they were hefker. Anyone could take it. The owner of that field, who normally would get the yield, was no different than anybody else, and that all you could bring home was one day's meals, but not more. It was a year of learning, of Torah study. You couldn't sow, plant, cut, or reap. There were certain things that were allowed to be done, only in cases where if it wasn't done, you would have permanent damage to the crops or to the ability of the field to reproduce. It says even tzitzit, vegetables, the grass, which grow wild, have the same rule. And it says the reason being, if it didn't, if you could, you know, hoard that, they said there could be unscrupulous farmers who would try to grow species akin to it, claiming it was wild. If someone collected Shemitah from the field to eat in his house, right, we're told that this obviously could not be done. We're told it was a day's amount. There may have been times when you had a little more, but there was a rule that once it became unavailable in the field, anything you had in your house, you had to put out there. If there were no longer any tomatoes in the field, and you had tomatoes, you had to bring them out into the field and make them hefker. And this action of removing crops was dependent when each crop was no longer available. We were reminded last time there was Shemitah that the fruits and vegetables which grew during Shemitah and which do grow, they're kadosh, they have holiness. Anyone who was in Eretz Yisroel who has relatives know how the people in Eretz Yisroel would have to take the rinds of oranges and the various things we don't eat and basically treat them in a much different manner. This could not be simply discarded into waste. The other thing is, you're precluded from selling anything during Shemitah. I can't, for example, pick 6 apples for you and try to charge you. No, it's got to be free. This is something that's right, usher. And it says in Eretz Yisroel as well, the farmers who keep Shemitah keep this fastidiously, that nobody sells anything. Then he quotes from the various Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise was that he will give bracha of bounty to anyone who does not work his field in Shemitah. He gives him during Shemitah and other years. Someone who works his field in Shemitah is a kofer. He demonstrates he doesn't have emunah in God, similar to the Jew who works on Shabbos because he needs livelihood. He quotes from Yirmiyahu 17:5. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Cursed be the man who trusts in another man and who attributes his successes to flesh. By plowing and harvesting in Shemitah, and whose heart departs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has given us the written promise to bestow his bracha on the produce of the sixth year, that it will last perfectly until we need a new crop for food." Shemitah allows people to acknowledge and to realize that the land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not to us. And that's what it says in the pasuk. During Shemitah, right, the Jewish farmer would turn to the Rabbonei Shel Olam and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Please provide sustenance. I realize that I cannot work, and I realize that what will come now comes from you, and I also realize, I have greater realization, that what I did in the other years, all the work, the plowing, planting, reaping, etc., that's not what yielded crops. Work is a curse. You've got to sweat. That was a problem. That was a punishment for Adam, Arishon. But I don't have to sweat more than's necessary. That which I receive only comes B'yad Hashem." And as we said, this then became the year of enhanced spirituality, enhanced emunah, and with the extra time that people necessarily had, they learned. They spent their time increasing what they did in terms of ruchnius, and that was to the betterment of Klal Yisrael.